As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Travis. Our second story is from John. We are into a sermon series on the Gospel of John. So hear these words from John chapter 1, verses 35 to 51, and listen for the word of God. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and that's John the Baptist. And he watched Jesus walk by. He exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." And they came and they saw where Jesus was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. See, even the pastors have a hard time with the words. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly," said Jesus, "I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that we might have eyes to see and ears to hear your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we pray. Amen. So this morning, we're going to talk about calling and the Christian idea of calling, because the Christian church in America uses the word calling a lot. And as Christians, we talk about calling a lot, but we don't ever really unpack the word or the idea. What is calling all about? Some of you have talked to me recently. You're entering a new season of life, and you're looking for a new calling. Our Presbyterian church ways are kind of built around this idea of calling. We call pastors, we call trustees and deacons and elders, we call people into the ministries of the church. And so an officer nominating committee, a group of people gets together and they pray and they ask God, who would be great leaders in our church for the next few years? And then when we call you and we ask you to be a deacon, you say, "No, I'm not feeling called," right? Pastors, we sometimes tell people that the Lord is calling you to lead the stewardship campaign. Normally we do that because we really feel like God has spoken, but sometimes we're just being manipulative, right? We sing songs about calling. Here I Am, Lord, is one of those songs we sing sometimes. We have lots of Bible verses about calling. Missionaries say, I'm feeling called to serve people in Africa. Maybe as a family, you've said, we feel called to really love on this family in our neighborhood. So we talk about calling all the time. We have calling stories that we read today. There's even parts of Paul's words in the epistles, in the letters at the end of your Bible, where it's talked about different people are called to different ministries, right? And so we have all this talk about calling, but no one ever really talks about what is calling and how does it work? And how do I know if I'm called? And so I want to spend some time today talking about this word and this concept that we use so often, but we rarely unpack. So lucky for us, in our sermon series on John, John ends the first chapter with calling stories. But it's not the one that you're familiar with. Maybe you know the one that Travis read about being fishers of people. This is a different calling story. But remember, John did not write this story for his own edification, okay? He did not write this story for like a historical account of what Jesus did that day. He wrote that story for us. There's an unnamed disciple in this story. You can open your Bibles and look back through, but there's an unnamed disciple, which I'm pretty sure is supposed to be us, that we, when we read this story, might be invited to think about our own discipleship of Christ and our own callings of this in this world. So I think sometimes the easiest way to define a word like calling is to talk about what it is not. So let's begin by saying what is not a calling. Your career might not be your Christian calling. So the answers to that career inventory test you might have taken in high school or college might not necessarily be your calling in life. It could, but it might not be. So some of you might not have done this, but those of us in the younger generations, in high school or college, we took a test, and it asked about our passions and our skills, and at the end, it spit out some answers, and it told us what we should be in life. And the answers on my test were, number one, religious clergy, because at that time I was already feeling called, there's the word again, into ministry. So I probably answered the test appropriately. My second option was garbage collector. That's why I still remember it. Now, Rocky tells me the politically correct word for that is waste management specialist. But garbage collector. As a pastor, sometimes I feel like I am both religious clergy and a garbage collector. Think about the prayer of confession when we say it together. I'm helping you collect your garbage and give it to Jesus. So I kind of do both of those things. But the point is, you might have skills to pay the bills in one area, and that could be your calling, but not necessarily. It's okay to have like an everyday job to pay the bills, but your calling is something different. So your career and your calling may or may not always be the same thing. So let's be clear on that. So let's talk about this story. Let's talk about calling. What can we learn about calling in this story? So the first disciples of Jesus in this story, some of them, are disciples of John the Baptist. They're the disciples of another guy. So they're hanging out with John the Baptist, and John points to Jesus. And that is what John does in all of the Gospels. He points. In the art, in the museum, John is pointing, okay? John points to Jesus. He says, look, the Lamb of God. And the disciples instantly begin to follow Jesus. Now, they are following Jesus literally, and they're following Jesus metaphorically. Because as we will discover, almost everything in the Gospel of John is a metaphor. You are going to get that drilled into your heads this fall. Everything in the Gospel of John is kind of like a metaphor. So the disciples are now, they've left John the Baptist, they've gone to Jesus, they are following, and Jesus realized he's being followed. And he turns around, and he says, what are you looking for? Could there be a more relevant question for our lives? What are you looking for? The first words of Jesus in the Gospel of John are a question that slams into our hearts. I want you to answer that question this morning in your heart. What are you looking for? The disciples' answer is rabbi, which means teacher or a teacher or teacher or teach us, right? And then they have a question for Jesus. By the way, where are you abiding? Your Bibles say staying. Abiding is a better Hebrew word choice here, and it's the money word for us this morning. The disciples asked Jesus, where are you abiding? Jesus doesn't answer. He invites them to discipleship. Come and see. And they go to Jesus' house and they hang out for a few hours and have beverages and conversation with Jesus. Is that not like an awesome visual? Just hanging out for the afternoon, talking with Jesus. So let's talk about that question. Not what are you looking for, which is a key question, but where are you abiding? I think that question answers the definition of Christian calling in our lives. Our callings are the places where Jesus Christ is abiding in our life. Our callings are the things we do and the people that we serve with, where when we are doing it, we feel the presence of God. So our callings are the places in our lives where Jesus is abiding in our life, where when we engage in that activity, when we hang out with those people, when we are a part of that ministry, we feel God's presence closely. Now there are fruits to like Jesus abiding in your life. So this is how you can tell if it's a place where Jesus is abiding. Number one, you're filled with joy. When you're engaged in that calling, your heart is strangely warmed. You're feeling joyful. That's a sign that Jesus is abiding there. But some of our callings in life are not pleasant. I'm going to be honest. They're hard work. And so in those cases, maybe our hearts aren't filled with joy. The fruits of the abiding Christ are more like a deep sense of satisfaction that what we're doing is important, or that we are a part of what Jesus Christ is doing in the world. So a calling is the place in your life where Jesus is abiding. And you might have more than one calling at one time, and your callings will change throughout your life. But it's that place where you sense the presence of Christ. Maybe it's teaching the youth Sunday school class. We have an awesome youth Sunday school class. Rich and Rick are amazing teachers. And I believe that when they're teaching, they feel close to Christ. It's where Christ is abiding in their life. Maybe for you, it's raising children or grandchildren. And it's not easy, right? But when you're a part of it, you know that you are a part of God's work in this world. Now, let me say this. If you're engaged in something that used to be your calling or that you think is your calling and you are not filled with joy or you do not have an abiding sense of God's presence as you're engaging in that ministry, or if you do not feel like you are a part of what Jesus Christ is doing in this world, it's probably not your calling anymore. If it used to fill your heart with joy and now it fills your heart with dread, stop going to the committee meetings, okay? It's not your calling anymore. It's okay to recognize that you're called to something and then Christ will abide in a different place in your life and you pursue that calling. So how do we like know if it's a calling, right? We've defined calling as the place where Christ is abiding in our life. But like how do you know? Well, you take a lesson from the disciples and you go over to Jesus' house and you have a conversation with Jesus. See, there's a moment where you're considering a calling. Maybe people call you and say, will you be a deacon? But we don't just sign you up. We don't say, like, we think you'd be a great deacon and then you're instantly a deacon. We tell you to go to Jesus' house and pray about it. We tell you to have some drinks with Jesus, have some conversation, and decide if this is where you're being called. That's what the key, this is what makes it different than a career, right? Or just a thing you do. What makes it a calling is that you're considering it, but before you say yes or no, you go to Jesus' house and have a conversation. So what kind of things might you and Jesus talk about? What could happen in your conversations with Jesus? So one thing that could happen is Jesus is like, yes, go for it. I love this. I will totally abide there in your life. Other things Jesus could say is like, no, you have all the skills necessary to be a deacon, but no, it's not where I'm going to abide, not your calling right now. Jesus could say, love this idea, but hold off. Either you're not ready or I'm not ready. Here's one of the scary ones. Think about what Travis read to us in Matthew, okay? They're fishing, then they're fishers of people. Jesus could take you out of a calling where you have tons of gifts and skills and put you into a calling where you feel like a fish out of water, where you have no idea what you're doing. That's a scary one. I believe the disciples loved fishing. They grew up fishing. They were tradesmen. They would have been apprenticed in fishing. And despite some of the stories in the Bible, I think they were good at it. And so Jesus pulled them away from a calling that they were amazing at and put them in a calling that challenged their faith and their courage. And that can happen. And as a pastor, I'm going to tell you that if you feel like you're called to something you're not very good at, like Moses and public speaking, it's probably a calling, I'm sorry to say. Sometimes God does like he did with Paul and gives you something that you can rock it out at. Like I think Paul was a great church planter. Most of the time God's going to call you to something that you're not very good at. And maybe it's because it requires faith and courage and helps us grow. I don't know, but it's just the way it is. So you could get all different like answers in your conversation with Jesus, even answers we haven't talked about here. But just know that's what that conversation's going to look like, right? And those are some of your options when you converse with Jesus. The thing is, if you find yourself being called to something that you're not super great at, that you don't have all the skills necessary for, don't worry, because our callings are never about us. Our callings are always about him, Jesus, and having the world see Jesus through us. The thing that made me crazy about this passage this week is that there are 10 names for Jesus in it, because John just does that kind of stuff. So in this, what I read to you this morning, 10 names for Jesus: Messiah, teacher, son of God, son of man, guy from Nazareth, Joseph's son, the one whom the prophets spoke about. All these words, which tells me that we get this big full view of Jesus in John 1, because callings are never about us, right? They're always about the guy with 10 different names in the passage. They're always about Jesus. Our callings are that the world might see Jesus through us. So what are you looking for this morning? And where might Jesus be abiding in your life? Let us pray. Lord, we all are looking for something: healing, hope, a better relationship, a new calling, a new sense of deep purpose in our life. Lord, whatever we are looking for this morning, come to us as the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world. Come to us as Messiah, Savior. Come to us as teacher. Come to us as friend. Lord, thank you for our callings. May we always be people who are listening for your abiding in our lives. Amen. If you would like to join the church or ask Jesus Christ into your heart, you can ask me about that at the door or send me an email this week. Please join us in our final song.